Let's pray. God, we thank you that in the ultimate display of love and selflessness, Jesus came to be one of us, to humble himself, become obedient to what it means to live as a human, much less to die on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you that we can come here before you in confidence, in boldness, that the living Jesus continues to shape us even to this day, even beyond what we can imagine, what we can hope. We thank you that as we look around this room, we see displays of your love, the ways that you have taught us and continue to shape us in the love of Christ, so that you may use us somehow, some way, to be light in darkness, to be salt among the blandness, to be peace among so much that is not peace. And we put all this before you, and we even proclaim your word today amongst one another in the name of Jesus. Have you ever heard the notion from Christian scripture where someone, in the name of Jesus, describes becoming all things to all people in order to save some and bring them to Christ? If you've been at this for a while, maybe you heard it back in the day as, "I've become all things to all men." It's a bit of a funny notion that I think has been lost over time, at least somewhat, since we are encouraged at every turn to consider our own needs first, our own desires, our own individual likes, and our own individual dislikes. I was thinking about this early Christian ideal as I looked around the gym at my YMCA early last Thursday morning, everyone with their earbuds stuffed firmly in their ears, in their own little worlds, working on becoming all things to all people. It just doesn't fit these days. Maybe back then, maybe that could have been something that we were as a church a long time ago, but it just doesn't fit anymore. It's not culturally appropriate anymore. So perhaps, as a church, we should decide this morning that becoming all things to all people is no longer appropriate. Or we could read the Word of God together and say, no, it still has a voice. It still has a place. It can still shape us, even if the rest of the world says, give up. It's not even worth it anymore. So here's a snapshot, just a snapshot. There's a lot that happens in 1 Corinthians 9 before this snapshot, and there's a good deal that happens after in the rest of 1 Corinthians 9 and even into 10. But here is one man's autobiographical snapshot to call into question and to create a world. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all so that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. All things to all people, that we might by all means save some. So what is that going to look like in your daily life? What will that look like in your Christian life from this day forward? I picked up the news last week on Monday morning, barely 24 hours after having preached to you fine brothers and sisters about this outlandish story from church history about a church in Corinth getting into a fight about the Lord's Supper. When lo and behold, what did the news offer me last Monday morning but an official statement from churchy bureaucrats saying that gluten-free bread must not be served as communion bread because Jesus had to have been pro-gluten. Dude, man, and I wish that was funny. I know it's kind of funny the way presented it. I wish that was... Okay, we just were in here Sunday morning talking about, can you believe, Corinth got into a fight about the way people took the Lord's Supper. Thanks be to God, we're past that. And then I open the newspaper, and there it is. Plain as that. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I know that in the life of the Christian church in all of its forms, that we have to make decisions. I mean, I get all that, but man. I thought about one of our own. Here, at Bering, who a few years ago came to some of us in tears because she had been diagnosed with a legitimate disease that prevents her from ingesting gluten without becoming sick. Even before, and I will add this just out of full disclosure, that my own daughter faced something similar, and some of our Lifeline interns, as they were coming here, told us about this very thing. And this was back when gluten-free wasn't as common as it is now. And I mean, I know. I get it when people say, well, back in my day, we didn't have to worry about gluten. I know. But also try to remember that back in the day, we also used to have TV commercials that told us that cigarettes were good for us. And less than 100 years ago, and I'm not making this up, I actually looked this up somewhere besides Wikipedia. 1923, less than 100 years ago, William Osler, in his medical school textbook, The Principles and Practice of Medicine, was still advocating bloodletting as a way to fight disease. Less than 100 years ago. And as for me, I like gluten. I really like it. I like bread, and I like pizza dough, and I like pie crust, and I like cake. I'd be perfectly satisfied today at lunch to have a pizza pie cake sandwich. It'd be great. Although by this afternoon, I'd feel awful. But when it comes to whether some might not be able to take the Lord's Supper with the rest of us on Sunday mornings, when we together worship Jesus and remember Jesus, well, in that scenario, I would be willing to never eat gluten again. And I'll tell you without hesitation that our church leadership did not even think about hesitating an immediate implementation of some gluten-free bread into our weekly worship, if for no other reason that everyone who comes to the table might remember Jesus together. All things to all people, that we might by all means save some. I think this is another example of Christian Scripture being prescriptive instead of descriptive. You remember that one from a few weeks ago? That Christian Scripture is creating a world, even when it's not necessarily describing the way things actually are. Because after all, when does the work of becoming all things to all people so that we might save some ever finish? When do we ever finish that work? And it seems to me that the church that confesses Jesus as Lord has a never-ending task when it comes to making sure that we together commit to the life of becoming all things to all people so that by all means we might save some. And this means everybody. Popular people and unpopular people. Demographics that are well-liked and demographics that are not well-liked. Everybody. All people. Becoming all things to all people. Not just a select few. You know what? Old white men need Jesus. Young black women need Jesus. Illegal immigrants from Guatemala need Jesus. Rich kids need Jesus. This isn't just a few. This is everybody. When my own children were toddlers, I used to sit them on either side of me during communion. And man, this is one of those moments that you wish, just for a minute, you could go back and just do one more time. Yeah, I know, you can't, but you want it. But we'd have communion, and I'd sit them on either side of me. You know, and at that time, I remember vividly some of these moments. Reese could barely talk. You know, Cole was 3, maybe 2.5, 3. I'd sit them on either side of me and get the tray, and it would pass to me, and I would grab it, and I'd break off a big piece of bread. You know, I wouldn't do the old, and some of you remember this, the Church of Christ double break, you know, where you got too much. And you have, I'd get the big piece. I'd get a big piece, pass it down. And I would take a piece of the bread, and I'd break a piece off of it, and I'd give some to Cole. And I'd break a piece off of it, and I'd give some to Reese. And I'd talk to them the whole time, just telling them about what it is that we were doing. And the easiest way to communicate communion to a 3-year-old. You ever tried that? You ever tried explaining? What are y'all doing? Well, we're... Where do you start? So I just say we're remembering Jesus. And because I have confessed Jesus as Lord, because I believe in Jesus, this is my bread that I'm taking because of my belief, but I'm sharing it with you, and one of these days, whenever you choose Jesus as Lord for yourself, you can, you know, start doing this yourself, but for now, I'm sharing this. You know, it is the best we could come up with. It wasn't perfect. But... Yeah, I'm sure it made some people mad. It's like you're talking during communion. You're not supposed to talk during communion, much less give a 3-year-old the Lord's Supper. Okay, I get it. But it's what I did. And then, one Sunday morning in Paris, Texas, after church, a bunch of us went to Chili's for lunch. Because, you ever been to Paris, Texas? There aren't a lot of places to go eat on Sunday after church. And plus, Chili's had just opened. Chili's and Luby's. I kid you not, they called me in at Luby's on the grand opening ribbon cutting day and had me say the prayer. This is Paris, Texas. So we're at Chili's on a Sunday morning after church. And the waitress is bringing us the water and all this stuff. And Cole, at 3 years old, was a big fan of saltine crackers. So he grabbed some saltine crackers and opened the bag, the little packet, and laid out a couple of the saltine crackers in front of him. And he took a piece of the cracker and broke it. You know, and Jennifer's little sister was with us. She kind of saw what he was doing. Elisa goes, "Cole, what are you doing?" And he just said, "I'm remembering Jesus." All things to all people that we might, by all means, save some. Paul's using himself as an example to follow the controversy in the Corinthian church at the dinner table. Because where it seems that the Corinthian church is getting into the biggest ruckus is around the dinner table. He uses himself as an example to say that adapting to the people with whom you are sharing life in Christ is kind of like training for a race. You know, this is what comes later in 1 Corinthians 9. He says it's like training for a race. And he says that in his own life he does this, that he might somehow get to share in the grace and the gifts that we know in Jesus. All things to all people that we might, by all means, save some. That particular early Christian statement reminds me of a similar passage in Philippians about being able to do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You remember that one? And although that passage has been used for all kinds of hurdles and obstacles and hard times in life, originally, if you read it in context, it was about the way that the church was able to describe what life is like, whether they are poor or rich, they have plenty, or they are in want and in desperate need. That was the original setting of that passage. And then the Philippian letter says, right in the middle of all of that, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." If I'm dirt poor, the strength of Christ. If I'm filthy rich, I still need the strength of Christ and everything in between. That in any and all situations, Christ is the one who gives us strength. So, how are we as a church being all things to those who have given up hope? How are we as a church being all things to those who want to believe in God but don't know how? How How are we as a church being all things to those who think that God has rejected them? But we cannot accomplish any of that. Rather, perhaps we should say, we cannot be any of that as individuals. No one in this room is capable of being a one-person band. But maybe together, we, as a church, we can together, collectively, be all things to all people. Together, as the body of Christ, we can together be all things to all people. Separately? No. I can't be all things to all people. You can't be all things to all people, but together, as one united body of Jesus Christ our Lord, together, we can. We can be together, all things to all people. I really believe that. Amen.